What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Sean versus Wild podcast. I'm your host, as always, Sean Thriller Smith, and it is Tuesday, July 11th. Hopefully everyone last week had a happy, safe Independence Day, had a great 4th of July. Hopefully you enjoyed that intro for last week's show. Figured I'd do something different by giving you a little inspiration, a little inspirado from President Bill Pullman from the movie Independence Day. So, guys, it wasn't a real alien attack. This isn't a War of the Worlds type scenario. It's a quote from Independence Day. In case you were curious, some people asked me about it. Yeah, that's what it's from, guys. So hopefully you enjoyed the intro, doing a little something different. It's business as usual this week. So, yeah, I'm back. And, hey, if you're a new listener, want to say welcome to the show. Some of you guys may have caught me for the first time, see me put in a little FaceTime, put in a little legwork over the past couple weekends, passed out some flyers last week at the Light Treasons Summer Youth Show. Street Sense was awesome as well. That show was great. If you haven't heard either of those three bands, definitely check them out. You're definitely not going to want to miss them. And then the week before, I was in Indianapolis passing out those flyers at the Alvarez Kings show. So if you're a new listener from the Indianapolis area or you're a new listener from the Light Treason show, welcome. I'm very happy to have you. And that's what I'm trying to do. My main focus going forward is, of course, building the show, building the fan base, building the listenership. And I'm out there on the ground, putting in the legwork, shaking hands, handing out the flyers, doing the damn thing. If you want to help out with that, the easiest way to do that is just simply tell your friend that's interested in podcasts about this podcast. It's free, doesn't cost anything. I'm not asking you for your money here. You know, I completely pay for this out of pocket. It's not as expensive as being in a band, but you know, it's pretty expensive from time to time when you got to buy the gear, make sure you sound 100% profesh. You know what I'm saying? Buying the merchandise, what can you do? So yeah, easiest thing to do if you want to support the show is just simply tell your friends that like podcasts about it. Like, share, subscribe the show. Have them like, share, and subscribe the show. A 5-star rating on iTunes goes a very long way. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Any of these things are free. They can be done in 2 seconds. You know, give a great rating, you know, if you want. That helps and doesn't take much of your time. If you want to give a bad rating, just don't even worry about it. Just don't even bother listening to the show, dude. Just don't subscribe. Simple as that, man. You know, I'm not trying to waste your time here. I'm not trying to make you angry. I want only people that are interested to check it out. So, yeah. And then on the show this week, I've got Betty Dead, a.k.a. my good friend Erica Sellers from the Dead Deads. She is going to be talking about her band. That band is absolutely awesome. I've been wanting to have her or a representative from the group on the show for a long time. One of the first people I actually reached out to, you know, months ago when the show was picking up to be on the show. And we were able to finally sit down via Skype, harnessing the power of technology, guys, to get the conversation. And she was absolutely great at it. And you're definitely going to want to check out the Dead Deads. And I mean, in such a short span of time, they're already making huge moves. I mean, she's telling stories about, you know, playing with Motorhead and meeting Lemmy and going on tour with Gavin Rossdale and Bush. So, you know, these are huge moves. So absolutely check out the Dead Deads. Check out this podcast. You're not going to want to sleep on that. And guys, yeah, of course, like, share, and subscribe. And say you have something of your own that you want to promote. Okay, like I'm promoting the show here. You're going to want to promote your business, your idea, your show, whatever it is that you have. And the way to do that is to go to audiophileinc.com and get some stuff printed up, man. You got to put in the legwork. You got to have the t-shirt. You got to wear your own t-shirt around, you know. You want somebody to get noticed. You got to be a walk-in billboard, guys. So you're going to go to audiophileinc.com, get some shirts printed up. Get some tank tops because it's hot out there, especially if you're going to be out there long hours passing out them flyers. You can get your flyers made there. You can get a cool hat with your logo on it. You can get some sweet track shorts. I mean, guy or girl, it's going to draw some attention having some short shorts on in the summer heat. So you're definitely going to want to do that. Put your name on it and go to Shane to get all of that printed up. He's going to give you the best price in town, no matter what town that you live in. He's shipping to all 50 states, guys. You simply go to audiophileinc.com, AudiophileInc.com, audiophileinc.com. You're going to want to talk to Shane. Shane's phone number is right there on it. You can just call him directly. It's a cell phone. Nobody has long distance fees or anything anymore. So you're going to just give him a phone call. Tell him Sean versus Wild sent you. Tell him you want some stuff printed up. He's going to get you taken care of. So yeah, guys, make sure to definitely do that. And really, that's all for me. I'm so glad that you guys tuned in again this week. Again, if you like it, like, share, subscribe, drop me a line on Facebook, Twitter, whatever. I'm everywhere. Just like, I don't know, Michelle Branch or Vanessa Carlton. I don't know who did that song. Randy, if you're listening, you go ahead and correct me on that. And also, big shout out to Joe Brock, Supernatch Studios, keeping me sounding 100% awesome all the time, every time. Big shout out to Joe Brock. And guys, that's it for me. Tune in. Crank up the dial. You know what I'm saying? You probably have a Walkman, a bright yellow Walkman on that's probably waterproof just in case you get all sweaty. You're going to crank that up to 11 and listen to the podcast and enjoy it and have a great day. So you know what? That's it for me. Let's get wild. So you're in Nashville already?
Yeah, I'm in Nashville, and it's been a crazy 3 years here. It's been awesome. So.
What do you think about, let me ask you this question just right off the bat. What do you think about Nashville, the way the city is laid out? Every time I drive there, I feel like I'm just going up a bunch of unnecessary hills.
It's so, like, there are so many unnecessary hills, and the, so we have about 90 people moving here a day, and that's been the case for the past 4 years, and the road systems, like the highways, are totally not prepared for what's happening, like this huge like movement to Nashville. So it's just, it's crazy. And we kind of have these boroughs set up like in New York City. So you have your East Nashville area, which is kind of where the independent artists hang out and live.
Is that where Taylor Swift lives?
No, I'm sure she probably lives in Franklin, which is kind of like another area. It's a little outside of Nashville, but we consider it Nashville. And then you have, so you have East Nashville, and then you cross the river and you cross the river into downtown, which is kind of like this other borough area. And then you have Midtown, which is sort of the college hangout with Vanderbilt. And then you have, I want to say West Nashville, which is also a really kind of cool area. There's some awesome like dive bars and stuff there. And it's just like these little sections in the Gulch, which is cool place locals go to. I don't think tourists know too much about it yet, which I'm not mad about.
Yeah.
Great food, great hangout. Like,
do you think you can sneak me in next time I come down there?
Oh yeah, totally. You just need to like come and hang out. We'll hook you up. I also know where and when all the drink specials are, because I'm a full-time musician and you're on a budget.
Exactly. So. You want to make the most economical decision. How can I get the most drinks for the least amount of money?
Oh yeah, totally. Like there's a lot of 2-for-1 deals, which are pretty awesome. So if you like beer, you get 2 beers at once. Or if you like well liquors or the kind of cheaper liquors, you get 2-for-1s there too.
Well, that's a good thing to have in the back of your mind, because I'm sure Nashville is like a tourist trap also. So it's going to be, you know, if you fall into the wrong bar, you're going to be spending an arm and a leg there.
I will tell you, like, I don't want to say the wrong area. That seems so overdramatic, but typically people go downtown.
Right.
And that's lower Broadway where you, the country themed streets. So you have all of these country bars. You have these excellent musicians playing in these bars, playing typically pop country hits. But if you tip them, they'll play whatever you want. So they know like 400 songs, but the drink prices are insane and the food prices are insane. And you don't even get really awesome food.
What's your favorite pop country hit?
I feel like
I'm
a connoisseur of Nashville.
What's your favorite pop country hit? What are you going to request?
Can I just say, like, I don't even know. Wait, let me think about this. Okay, pop country. I have to listen to it a lot. I work 2 days a week at this gift shop part-time just to keep my samples, like, just to stay sane after tours and stuff. I'm a person. And it's all country music in these gift shops because it's on Lower Broadway. And there's this one, can I do my worst, my least favorite pop country hit?
Yes.
Instead of my favorite?
Perfect.
Okay, can I do an impression of it?
Yes.
It's Reba. It's that song, it's like, What if God was one? No, it's not that. That's a, I just totally made that lyric
what
up.
What if God was
that's
one of us? Just God a slob one like one of us.
Nope, that's yeah, that's not it. It was like, we need to turn this world back to God, something like that. And every time that song comes on our radio, I am just like stabbing myself in the brain hole. Mentally, like I can't even stand that song. It just drives me crazy.
Is it just because of the patriotism? Because like sometimes I'll hear like Toby Keith just being like, "We'll put a boot in your ass." It's the American way.
Oh my God! I feel like part of it can be kind of the patriotism, but it's also just the assumption that everybody's like, "Oh God," like as in a good way, like, "Oh, it's God and God is this and." Therefore, God's going to save everything. I'm sorry, people. Humans are going to save everything. That's just my thought. So anyways,
it you heard just it first drives... here at the Sean versus Wild podcast. Right, humans exactly. are going to save everything.
Humans are going to save everything. God has nothing to do with it. I hate to break it to you. It's science and it's human nature. And that's just how the world works. We have to solve our own problems.
All right. You guys heard it first from Erica
that's
Sellers
when
right
I
here.
I get kicked out of the band. I'm just kidding.
Well, guys, those of you tuning in.
I just snorted. That's embarrassing.
You just heard Erica Sellers from the Dead Deads snort right here on the Sean versus Wild podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in today. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting down here with Erica. We're talking about everything that you got coming on. I've known you for... well over a decade,
oh my God.
And now here you are making huge moves in the Dead Deads.
It's weird. It's a weird life.
We've really come a long way since playing at like the warehouse or like Ryan Davis's basement.
I know, or like any random house shows that we used to do, like so crazy.
Yeah, old 53s to dust and tears like bullets.
Oh man, I know. Yes.
Do you ever
all of them. Suburban Blood Drive.
Suburban Blood Drive. Actually, the last guest that I had on the show did a shout out to Suburban Blood Drive. I was like, oh man, I'm just flattered people remember us.
I totally like that's so awesome. I love that. That makes me happy.
Do you ever talk to any of the guys in 53s to Dust anymore?
You know, not really. Well, I'll take that back. AJ Brady and I've always, who is our bassist. We've always kind of like had this cool connection. Like he's my buddy and not that I wasn't buddies with the other guys, but I feel like everyone's just kind of gone their own way.
Yeah.
But AJ is just always going to be this awesome music dude. Who's just always into music and that's like his heart. So I'm like, all right, cool. We got this in common. Yeah. You're welcome. I have no idea what the other guys are up to.
Do you stay in touch with many of your old Louisville musician pals since you've moved?
Louisville musician pals and just kind of like everybody that we grew up with in our music scene, the 812 and the 502 music scene, like absolutely, like everybody in those scenes have helped shape who I am and just really kept me from a lot of bad like shit.
Do you stay in touch with anybody in particular?
Yeah, I definitely like keep up with Eric Snyder, of course.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure you absolutely know who that is because everyone in Louisville probably knows who that is.
Yeah, you got to go to Haymarket and get a drink from him.
Oh my gosh. Anytime I'm in Louisville, I go to Haymarket Whiskey and just I'm like, Eric, I need bourbon right now because I'm about to play a show and I'm not. So pretty cool. Pretty cool. Eric, my friend, Big Red, who is in the hardcore scene. Corey, Jawan from Skyscraper Stereo. Super awesome. Did a movie with him and he's doing like some cool, awesome, like music project that's coming out. Marcus Mays, who's now into like doing this hip hop project. Like, it's super cool. Like I love everybody.
Well, let me ask you this. How did you get hooked up with the Dead Deads? How did you make the trip from Louisville to Nashville? Like, how did you find those gals?
Right. Well, okay. So I kind of gave up on music whenever I was in college. I was like, screw this. I kind of had a bad experience with The 53 said us break up. Like, it was weird. And I was like, yo, I'm jaded. I'm 19 years old and I'm so jaded with music. I'm going to go to college and whatever. Did that. Gave up. And then I decided, hey, I want to start playing music again. And my really good friend, Brian Puckett, he heard some music I was writing and he was like, Erica, you need to be doing this. And we need to find you some other people to play with. And I came across my best friend now, Angela Lisi, who's known as Billy Dead and the Dead Deads. And we started a band called Catfight and played around in Louisville, played Nashville Pride, played Indianapolis Pride, had a lot of fun. And she moved to Nashville for her job, which is meteorology. She's a meteorologist for the federal government. Ass, super cool. And I'm like, oh my God, okay, you're moving to Nashville, you're doing your thing. I want to move to Nashville eventually, but I need to graduate from school. Graduated. She talked me into moving to Nashville. Did it. Ended up there. Got a shitty job at this place called United Record Pressing, which is the largest vinyl plant in the world. And
it's probably one of the last ones left, isn't it?
No. There's like so many opening up. Like Jack White has Third Man Records, vinyl pressing plant in Detroit, which my former customer service manager, Jessica Baird, who's awesome, is actually up there working for him now. So super cool. I had to do production, which if you know me, I'm kind of a ditz and I'm just like, oh, I don't know what anything does. I had to do that. And that was a cool experience. Worked my way up to customer service and became a customer service rep for Universal Records and Third Man Records, which was one of the most stressful jobs I've ever done in my life. Anyways.
I can only imagine.
Moving. It was like, oh, hey, not Third Man, but Universal. Oh, hey, we have this artist. We're going to do this new release 6 weeks from now. You do know that at this plant, because we have such a high volume, it takes like about 6 months to get a record out. So we had to like basically prioritize and get those new releases out for Universal Records, Sony Records as well, Warner Brothers, all the high-end record labels. And eventually we just kind of cut the independent artist out because we couldn't do both at the same time because the volume for vinyl was insane. And that's where the stress came in. It was just everything has to go perfect. They wanted records to sound like MP3s, which if anyone is into vinyl, records are not meant to sound like MP3s. Records are meant to kind of have a little bit of that fun crackly noise. Like, you know, not to where it interrupts the music, but to where, like, it's not an MP3.
It has a nice warmth to it. And I actually recently...
Thank you. A warm tone. Totally. Like, that's exactly, like, the best description.
I just recently got into, like, more vinyl and stuff like that because now that I don't play music full time. I'm like, well, hey, I can actually invest in some music full time now. So I'll buy a lot of albums that I love. I mean, it doesn't sound like an MP3. I mean, it rocks. When you put on an album, it just rocks and it does have a warm tone. It's got
it's
big sound.
So good.
And
Yeah.
Of course, what I always prefer, my classics, my Black Sabbath, stuff like that, though, when it comes to the vinyl. So,
oh, yeah.
I don't know what Katy Perry sounds like on vinyl, but I'd love to find out, Katy Perry, if you're listening and you just want to send me one.
Well, she should totally do that. It'd be awesome.
So, yeah, Jack White also, too, if you're listening. I've been waiting on this damn Skid Row album from Amazon. So if your company can go ahead and just press that so that way I can get it. I've been on back order for about 6 months.
Oh, come on, Jack White. You can do it. I believe in you.
So, yeah. And so you're working at the record plant. And where do you go from there?
Yeah. So I'm working production. I'm working first shift. It's about 6 a.m. till 3 to 4 p.m. And I'm like, crap, I have to go to bed super early. I have to get up at 5 a.m. to make it to work on time. Nashville traffic is horrible. Thanks to all the hills and thanks to all the horrible road structures. And I'm at the house hanging out in my Star Wars PJs, just chilling. And I hear this band rehearsing downstairs, which, you know, Angie or Billy Dead told me, hey, yeah, we're going to be having this rehearsal just to let you know. I'm like, cool, do it. And then I hear our vocalist, Meta Dead, say, hey, Doesn't your roommate play guitar? Yeah, she plays guitar. Get her down here. So I went downstairs, grabbed my guitar, and I start jamming with them in my PJs. And that's kind of how the Dead Deads were formed.
It all just kind of fell together like that. The
planets
aligned.
It all fell together. Like it was so funny because it wasn't necessarily like the Dead Deads before that. Like they did a Dead Milkman band for Halloween, and they were called Dead Milkmaids.
Gotcha.
And they did the little X's over their eyes, so they didn't have to do zombie makeup. Just be like, all right, we're dead. Cool. We're like the cartoon dead characters. So we get together and we start rehearsing and writing music with them. And they're like, we need to be a band. And also we should come up with a name. Well, let's be the Dead something. The Dead Kennedys are taken. The Dead Milkmen are taken. So they're like, let's be the Dead Deads. Cause that's funny. Like, the Dead Deads. Like, sure, it's not taken. Let's do it. And then we kind of developed the X's of our eyes from that. So that's kind of the story of the name, how I got involved, and where we came up with putting black eyeliner over our eyes.
It's a great look. Great. I mean, I always see these photos, and I mean, it's going to translate. I mean, everybody needs a...
It does, yeah.
Everybody needs a look. Everybody needs a selling point. And I think that makes you guys just look even that much more badass.
Oh, it totally does. And I think it's fun because our fans will come to our shows and do it. I think my biggest fear at first was, oh my God, I don't want people to think we're trying to be ICP. Because if there's one group out there that terrifies the living hell out of me, it is that group. Like, I just don't understand that culture. That is far beyond me. Okay, I get this wrong every time. Is it Gigolos or Juggalos?
That'd be the Juggalos.
Okay, I totally always get that wrong. I blame that on being homeschooled. Juggalos.
I mean, Juggalos, right? Are just like, honestly, they're like the 90s version of Kiss fans. I mean, or like, yeah. They're the 90s version of what like Ghost fans are right now. And I'm not trying to like, I'm just saying like where you just love a band and you
yeah,
love
and you
like
just follow it.
Or the Grateful Dead or something like that.
I totally get that. I think what ruined it for me was that Doc made fun on them. And I was like, oh my God, this is like a crazy cult of people. I'm sure they're cool, like we totally get along with their fans maybe, but
if you would,
I was just, that was my first thought. We're like, people think we're clowns. I don't know,
bro, if you could play the Gathering of
but
the Juggalos,
totally not
do
like,
it
translated.
All I can say is if you get the opportunity, play it, because I've been looking at it on YouTube, or I mean I have seen it on YouTube, I should say, and
uh-huh.
Looks nuts.
So, okay,
I highly recommend if you get the opportunity.
I will say this. We will play anything. We love any opportunity we get because that's how we've gotten to where we've gotten. We're never too big for our britches. That's an embarrassing statement that I just said, but you're welcome for that. So, like, we don't care. Like, it's just, we'll do what we can if we have time for it and make it work. So,
well, that's how rock and roll is. You just play anywhere.
That is.
And eventually.
Yeah.
Somebody is going to, the right person's going to be where you're playing, and something's
exactly.
going to happen.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And in case in point, kind of, we had a photo shoot / video shoot, and we all wore our X's to this bar called Red Door East, which is in East Nashville. It's 5 points. Awesome, cool local bars like Cheers. Walk in and there's this huge like gathering of all these old looking rocker dudes that are super cool looking. And I'm like, ah, that's a cool kids club. And this lady came up and started talking to me and was just like, oh my God, I love these X's. You have to meet my guy. And I said, oh, why? And she's like, you just have to. It was Chuck Garrick from Alice Cooper. And he came up to me and he was like, this niche is amazing. You guys need to keep these X's over your eyes. Like, this is exactly what you need for marketing. It's great. So we totally went with it, kept it going. And he went to our first show, which was at this bar called Foo Bar, which is now known as the Cobra here in Nashville.
Okay.
And I totally dropped my guitar because I didn't have strap locks. I didn't even know what that really was. And it was awesome. So.
Well, see, that's
anyways,
the thing. Right time, right place. You just, I mean, that's the
right
way.
Right time, right place, yeah.
That's how life works out sometimes.
Yeah, you know, and also just if I could give any advice to any musicians or aspiring bands out there, just ask for the impossible. Don't ever be ashamed or afraid to ask for something, because you will be so amazed at the opportunities and windows that will just be open for you. Like, it's so freaking cool. That's how we got on the Hailstorm tour. Our vocalist Metadead was on an airplane. She was doing her own sort of like gigs with this other lady. She was a full-time musician kind of for another band, and ended up sitting next to Joe and Lizzie from Hailstorm. Didn't know who they were at first, and then said, you know, hey, what are you guys doing? They're like, oh yeah, we play music. And she's like, oh yeah, we do too. And what band are you in? And they're like, Hailstorm, which happens to be our drummer, Billy Dead, also Angie, her favorite band. And they kind of became friends. And then we all kind of got to know each other, and they had a tour coming up, and we're just like, hey, you know, what if you took us out on this tour? And they're like, well, maybe, we'll see what happens. And it ended up working out. We ended up going on our first national tour about 4 months after playing like our first show in Nashville.
And that's insane. I mean, Hailstorm is gigantic. I mean,
yeah, and it was,
especially
insane.
When it comes to like female fronted rock bands,
oh, yeah,
and stuff like that. They are charting some new ground. I mean, they're breaking out mainstream big time. So that's a huge deal.
Oh, totally. Oh yeah. It was like, it was insane. I mean, if you remember from like back in the day when we would all play together, I had stage fright. I wouldn't even move when I played. And I'm like, I'm playing in front of 50 people. This is a lot of people. Just kind of jumping from that to 5,000 people was so insane for me. Like, it was crazy. And
it's a pretty steep learning curve.
It was just like, what is happening right now? I need confidence. I need to believe in myself. All right, I'm just going to rock out as hard as I can on stage and realize that these people, they might be having a bad day and they're here to be entertained and kind of forget where they are. And what's happening on stage isn't about me. It's about them. And I need to perform for them. And that's kind of been my mentality to help me get over stage fright and help me perform better. And
you got to give the crowd what they're there to pay for. I mean, they bought the ticket, you know?
Exactly. And also, yeah, exactly. I totally agree with that. And then another crazy story. I think my favorite story about just ask is our motorboat story. We knew Motorboat was happening. It's this cruise ship that has Motorhead, Anthrax, Slayer, Exodus, all these bands on it. And Billy Dead said, hey, why don't I, I'm just gonna ask them if maybe they need another band from Nashville. I'm gonna email their customer service. We're like, cool, do it. That's totally fine. No problems there. She does. And I guess the customer service people got a kick out of it and sent it on to the management, which are known as it's the Owls. They're people, they actually live here in Nashville. They're great. And so we're like, all right, awesome. We have this happening. Went forward to management. Cool. And then there was a show with Hailstorm at the Ryman here in Nashville. And since Joe and Lizzie, no Tish or Metadead, I keep using the wrong names, but band name Metadead,
right?
Invited her up on stage to do a Jaeger shot with them. She did that, went off stage, and the Owls were both there, and they said, hey, you're in that band, the Dead Dads. And she said, yeah, we are. And they said, we got a random email from you guys about seeing if you could play on Motorboat. She said, oh my gosh, yes, totally. And they were like, well, we don't know about Motorboat, but we'll go ahead and get you booked on this other cruise called Shiprocked, which is sort of like the mall metal bands. I don't really know how to say it, like the Hot Topic sort of bands, like popular radio music.
Sure.
Rock. And
like Theory of a Dead Man or somebody like that. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
like
totally. Yeah.
Five Finger
totally
Death
like
Punch.
Five Finger Death Punch was the headlining act on that cruise ship, I believe. So Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Gotcha.
I'm dialed in to your demographic right now.
Yes. I'm just sort of like, I don't really know, because I kind of didn't listen to the radio that much when I was a kid. So I don't know what these bands are. Anyways, they're like, yeah, we'd love to have you on that. We'll see what we can do with Motorboat. Turns out we end up getting on Motorboat just because we asked. Like, and also the circumstances surrounding us with our friends in Hailstorm. And it's been sort of just like this crazy journey of like, of just things happening in our favor, like hard work, but also a little bit of luck. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Just, it's been insane. So we got on Motorboat, we got on Shiprocked. On Shiprocked, we did interviews for our friend Revelator Ryan, met Paige from Helmet, Meta and Hella. Hella was our keyboardist at the time, did an interview with Paige, and Paige just loved them, was like, oh my gosh, I need to get in touch with your manager, and we are going to work together in the future. We're like, sure. Yeah, he ends up producing our last album that we put out, which is FYO. So Paige Hamilton is our producer now and working with us. And we're just like, what is happening? Like, I can't even, I don't know. It's a weird life.
It is a weird life.
Happening right now.
Only in the life of a musician will you like randomly make some strange decision and then it pays off for you, like sometimes months, years down the road.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's all about connections and networking, just, I guess, knowing the right people.
Yeah, or just putting yourself out there to accept being at the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this question. This is a question that I was thinking of the entire time you were talking. Did you get to meet Lemmy or what?
Mm-hmm. Do what? I'm sorry?
I said, did you get to meet Lemmy or what?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Got to meet Lemmy. He was hanging out down in the casino playing slot machines on the cruise ship.
Nice.
Which was pretty much where he hung out. So
I went to the Rainbow Room. Like, we played the Rainbow Room in March, and he passed away like in December. So cool. And it was like when we just went over, or we didn't play the Rainbow Room. We played the Roxy, which is right next door. And we walked over to the Rainbow Room, and they just had his seat saved. No one can sit in it. It's right in front of a slot machine.
Yep.
Like a video arcade machine that they would have there for slots and whatever. And no one can sit there. And so, but they said he was there every night. So, you know, had I had the opportunity to get there a few months earlier, maybe I could have met Lemmy. Aww. But, you know, what can you do?
Right. Yeah. Like,
but see, that's the thing. You ask a question, and then the next thing you know, you're hanging out with Lemmy at a slot machine. So that's how life works. That's what life of a musician is like. So guys, if you're listening, if you're playing music or you have any sort of goal or hobby that you want to take to the next level, just ask some random questions and you'd be surprised randomly.
Just ask
what you'd get
randomly
out of it.
It'll be fine.
The next thing you know, you're going to be hanging out with, you know, Vince Neil from Motley Crue, or you're going to hang out with Alice Cooper, you know, or somebody. Yeah.
You never know.
I'm just going to be in a hot tub with Katy Perry talking about the quality of her albums. Like, hey, sounds great. Sounds just like the MP3, but it's on vinyl.
I really
love
that music video with you being out on the table with all this food around you. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, man. What do you think about that? Man, I have this whole thing, man. You ever seen spirit cooking? This is going to get weird and deep. I'm going to take it to a next.
Okay, what is spirit cooking?
Spirit
because
cooking,
I love cooking, but what is spirit cooking?
Dude, spirit cooking is nothing like actual cooking. Just look it up,
okay,
man. You'll see these random celebrities like dressed in like these doctor's uniforms, and like they have all these strange like get-togethers where people are eating like cakes that are like really lifelike and they look like humans. It's messed up, guys. Just check it out, okay?
I don't know if I want to look that up now.
Yeah, but when I saw that video, so I was just like, man, that's what this. I'm not saying I'm not saying it's aliens. I'm not saying it's Illuminati, but it is what it is, guys. Okay,
it is what it is.
So
fantasies about eating the human flesh.
Yeah,
totally fine.
It is what it is, bro. Let me ask you this question too, just because I feel I've known you for so long, and I feel like you wouldn't take it necessarily the wrong way, but I've always just kind of wanted to know, like, what's it like to be a female musician in a world I feel like that has like a stigma where like dudes rock and all that sort of thing. Like, what's it like to just be a girl in a rock and roll band. And especially with you, what's it like to be a girl in a band of badass women that are badass and you guys right. all rock? What's that like? What's that? What kind of experience do you have with that going out?
It's crazy. You know, I feel like personally, I feel like I have to prove myself a little bit more. I have to show, okay, yeah, I can do what you can do and I can try my best to do it better, which is already kind of stressful. On top of that, you have the stigma of being a woman in rock and roll. And some of our experiences have just been super odd. When we first started out, we would play a venue. I'm not going to say the venue, but a venue in Clarksville. And we walked up to it and the guys were like, "Hey, why are you carrying all your gear for your boyfriends?" Assuming that, I guess that we weren't in the band and we were performing that night. And it was a bunch of dudes playing, which was kind of weird.
Right.
Then we get on the stage and we're like, all right, cool. We're going to do a line check, which we have done many times before. And the sound guy is like, "Oh yeah, just make sure you know how to turn your amps on." Which was also very weird.
Right. Yeah.
And we're like, we totally know how to do this.
You should dock points, not only for it being rude, but just like totally unoriginal. Like that's,
yeah, totally.
I dock yeah. very, I always dock unoriginality points or like, you know, that's just, yeah. that's just lame, but go ahead. I'm
like,
sorry.
It was so weird and so bizarre. And I'm just kind of like, what world am I living in right now? And it, you know, and I don't think it was even meant to be snide or rude. It was actually just like ignorance, right. genuine ignorance. So we're in front of this crowd composed of a lot of men and they see us get on stage and you can just, I love being on stage because you can see the facial expressions of people. And at first you can just see, okay, this is not going to be what we think it's going to be. It's like not going to be great. We're not a bunch of dudes. And we just start rocking out as hard as we possibly can. Because we're already pissed and we're already annoyed from everything that had happened previously. And you just see the facial expressions change from this is going to suck to like, oh my God, this is good. Like this is actually rock and roll. Like this is music
right.
happening. That's moving us. And there's nothing cooler than that experience. And that sound guy who actually made those comments and said those things, he started coming to our shows in Nashville and he became like one of our bigger fans. He loved us. Like, and I think it was just because they weren't familiar with women and music.
Right.
And we, you know, like that stuff happens all the time. Like, I can't tell you the number of times we've been on tour and we've had sound guys just kind of be like, "Oh yeah, you need to stick your finger in the air if you need more of yourself in the monitor." Well, I know that. That's why I'm not doing the air up and my finger up in the air, because I don't need any more of myself in my monitor. Like, you don't have to yell at me about it. Like, I know how this works, just right. so you know.
This isn't the first show I've ever played ever in my life.
This isn't the first show ever, like, ever. Like, come on. I've been, like, doing this since I was, like, 14 years old. Give me a break. So.
Since you were in braces like and jelly bracelets.
Oh, my God. I know. Braces and the jelly bracelets.
But, you know, also, too, it's like. I feel like that element of surprise gains yeah. a lot of fans because we were that way.
Oh, it does.
Like we would play, you know, we play Warped Tour, we'd play these places uh-huh. and they'd be like, "Well, how many, they would just ask us certain things like, "Well, you know, what channel's your metronome on?" "Oh, we don't play with the metronome." "Well, what channel are your tracks on?" "Oh, we don't have tracks." They're like, "You mean to tell me you don't have any backing tracks or whatever?" And even just something like that, or like they would look at my beat up drum set and they'd just be like, "Oh, yeah. cool. You know, it's not like some, you know, super custom thing." And they kind of look at our gear that we'd get, like, you know, our secondhand gear. And it would just be one of those things where as soon as, like, you started and you realize, like, the gear that we have is, like, our workhorse gear, you know, the stuff that's, like, loud, sounds yeah. great. And then you put on an amazing stage show. And then the next thing you know, like, everybody's just, like, coming back to apologize and buy your stuff. And then they're your lifelong fans because they were expecting the yeah. least and they got the most out of you that
exactly.
night.
Exactly. That is exactly like what tends to happen whenever we play, especially places we've never played before. And it's so much fun. Like, we aren't like, oh my God, this is horrible. We're like, this is so much fun because we want to show you, like, there's this whole other world and it's awesome. And yeah, we are women that are like playing, like that are in a rock band. We are an all girl band, but we're not just that. We are musicians that just happen to be women.
Yeah, right.
Like,
exactly.
That's really what it comes down to. Like, we can't help like what sex we are. Like, we like to rock just as much as the next person, male or female. Like, that's just, that's our job and we love it. So, and we've definitely formed awesome fan, an awesome fan base from, I think, having that attitude, and it's our dead core, and it's so freaking awesome. These people are so supportive. They have gone out to like so many shows. Well, we'll play a show in Alabama and we will have fans drive from Austin and from like Wisconsin all the way down, like come and see us.
They just follow it's you. Insane. Like you guys it's are like weird. The Grateful Dead. Like you guys are like ICP yeah. or something.
Oh my gosh. It was, yeah, exactly. Like we're like ICP or something. Yeah, no, it's totally, it's kind of like that, but it's super cool. It's like a family. So I guess maybe it is ICP-ish. Damn it. I'm eating my own words. I knew that that would happen. As soon as I mentioned, I was like, ah, this is going to be a whole thing.
All I can say is with ICP, say what you want about their music, marketing geniuses, and they have a diehard fans.
Oh my God.
And that's the whole thing. That's
total
what
marketing geniuses.
Why don't you just have
total marketing geniuses.
Ride or die fans. It really works, mm-hmm. guys. Try it out.
It totally works. Yeah. It's a great idea. Great
dude,
concept.
And speaking of you guys, I mean, you got a fan in me, definitely. I think you guys are amazing.
Oh,
and at the time of this recording, it's not out yet, but the time it's going to air, you are going to have mm-hmm. a brand new EP out.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. We don't really have a name for it. We're just like, it's a Flying Saucers EP, but it's kind of self-titled. But we're releasing it on July 4th because it's a little political. So... we're dropping it on Independence Day.
A perfect little treat for you guys there to celebrate the nation's independence.
Yeah, freedom of speech.
But
welcome.
Yeah, well, so, okay, pretty much self-titled Flying Saucers EP. I mm-hmm. would take it that there's probably some Flying Saucers. We can expect that on the cover or around.
Oh, yeah.
In or around the album area is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So you say it's political. What in the mm-hmm. world would cause you in this day and age to write a politically charged album?
Well, I guess like our most political song is the song that entitled "Nothing Will Be Fine," and we actually wrote that song based on election night, which occurred during our Bush tour in November. And it was the last night of tour in San Diego. We were keeping a close eye on the election. Like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Please don't let this guy who rhymes with dump win. And got up on stage, played, walked off, and found out that he did win. And it just took our breaths away. Like, we just couldn't believe it. Like, our bassist, Daisy, our vocalist Meta, we were all shocked. We were right. all shocked from it. And so Meta wrote the song "Nothing Will Be Fine" about that night and about that experience. And we wrecked our little room. We were throwing. Of course, we cleaned it up afterwards. But we're just having a moment. We're like, well, we're gonna throw things everywhere, like paper towels. Like
first, we brought the ruckus, and then we cleaned up the ruckus.
And by ruckus, it's like so not. It's really not like ruckus, but we're just like we're just gonna throw this empty bottle that's plastic. Like, you know, nothing like super crazy. But yeah, it was pretty rough. Well, and so we read about that.
Yeah, it's rough for you guys. It's rough for a lot of people out there. And I think,
totally.
I think that these politically charged albums, and I know even from some of the people that I've interviewed just in the short span that this podcast has been a thing, have a lot of things mm-hmm. to say about it. And they felt that way too. So I know that you guys are not alone. And And also, you have prepared a piece. As I like to say to everyone on the podcast, you have prepared a piece here, and mm-hmm. we'll be enjoying listeners. Nothing will be fine from the brand new self-titled EP. So guys, this is Nothing Will Be Fine by the Dead Deads. Everybody, that was Nothing Will Be Fine by the Dead Deads. That's a powerful little song you got going on there.
Yeah, for sure. It's I mean, I'm gonna say this about our current president. He's definitely saving punk rock. So thank you.
It's, you know,
thank you for that.
I feel like it's gonna be experiencing a resurgence that has not been seen since George W. Bush. W. Bush.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be insane. I kind of can't wait. Rage Against the Machine, please get back together and start doing stuff. Thank you.
Now is the time, Rage Against the Machine. If you're listening, which I'm sure you are, you know, I'm sure you are listening.
Yeah, totally.
I would suggest taking our word for it. This is the time for you guys to get right back together.
It definitely is. We need your songs.
Yeah.
And your repetitive lyrics that are amazing, that I love and just want to chant at the top of my lungs.
Do you remember going to like Crazy Fest as a kid and they would always have like the anti-George W. Bush t-shirts?
It was amazing.
Yeah. What a great time for punk rock.
Yeah. It was so good. Like punk rock, just punk rock, hardcore, like anything, like any sort of political, like, you know, with anything with a political foundation. It was so great.
I agree.
Music. It saved music.
Exactly.
It's a little overdramatic. I'm like, it saved music.
Well, it certainly helped. Okay. I will say this. Yeah. It certainly helped. So, yeah. And speaking of saving music, you guys are out there on the road rocking and rolling. You mentioned earlier, I didn't really know how to put this into words, but so tell me, what's it like touring with Bush?
Well, it's
the band Bush, Gavin Rossdale.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, the band Bush, it's great. I was like, it's a thing that happens on tour because, you know, touring is rough.
It's people. Just one of those it's things, hard. Guys.
Gas station showers, it's great. It's glorious.
But yeah, what was it? When I got the notification that you were on tour with Bush, I was like, yeah. The 13-year-old me is going insane. I had an older sister that was like obsessed with Gavin Rossdale back in the day. Yeah. So 16 Stone and Razor Blade Suitcase, like I inherited those CDs from her. And it was just one of those things where like I was, you, if you caught me in sixth or seventh grade, for sure, I would have lost my mind. And I basically did lose my mind knowing that you guys went. What was that tour like?
It was so great. It was so much fun. We basically got that tour because of our connection with Paige, and Paige knows Chris Traynor, who is their guitarist. And I look up to Chris Traynor as like an older brother. He's super great. And he was in Helmet for a while. And Paige was like, you need to take these girls on tour. I guess he presented it to Gavin, and Gavin was like, yes, check mark. This is happening. So we ended up on tour with Bush and Chevelle at the same time.
That had to have been huge, though, because, I mean, Chevelle's still very popular.
Chevelle's still, like, rocking it, yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, it was crazy. And we called it, I always say this wrong, it's either Shed Shows or Shack Shows. I think it's Shed, where, like, it's the venue outside. So sort of kind of like a waterfront, like, esque, like, little arena type thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, if they have concerts at waterfront. It was stuff like that, except bigger. So it was crazy.
So they're just kind of like, yeah, like the big, I mean, you know, we have it here, like at Waterfront Park, you know, if, you know,
I love, yeah.
Like if Jimmy at World comes, they're playing Waterfront Park.
Oh yeah.
You know, or something so like good. That. So,
love it.
So that's the kind of touring that you guys, that was like the venues and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like little amphitheaters and whatnot.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So it's crazy.
You guys have been staying busy too, because you just told me that you're involved in like a Chris Cornell tribute as well. Or did that happen, or is that going to happen? Or
yes, no. That happened this past Friday, which was June 23rd,
right?
I believe. I don't know why I just gave you the date. That's really weird.
Hey, that's cool. Guys, here's the deal. I want everybody out there to know podcasts are definitely not live. And
no, I'm like June 23rd, in case you didn't know.
Today
this was not live.
Yes, it's June 26th at 10:49 p.m., guys, just in case you're keeping score at home.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome for all of this information. No, it was great. So, we have a great community here, music community, and a bunch of local artists came together, and it was actually put on by our friend Brandon, who takes part in this thing called the Rock and Roll Residency, which is on a Tuesday at Mercy Lounge every Tuesday night for free, and they play like badass, like 1970s, like rock and roll metal. It's super awesome. Anyways, he has this production. I believe it's called Keen's Entertainment or Keen's Production. And he kind of does these like fundraisers and charity events where you do a tribute to certain bands. And since Chris Cornell had, well, passed away, we were like, all right, we're going to do this because everybody loves Chris Cornell. And he's one of the most badass vocalists in music like ever. And he asked us to do some songs. And we're like, sure. We'll do it. And then we decided to do three songs. And those three songs were Reach Down, Day I Tried to Live, and Ty Cobb.
Fantastic.
And I just want to say the Day I Tried to Live was not easy to play at all, but we had 3 weeks to learn it, and we did. So the fundraising or the charity event, the charity that it went to was called Music Cares, which is basically an awesome, amazing group where it helps support musicians who don't have health insurance. and are full-time musicians. And so if something happens, like, it's kind of a pool of people pulling together and like supporting that person. So.
And that's a great really organization. Cool, we worked with them a few times, yeah. And they were always out on Warped Tour when we were on it. So listeners, if you want to support a great cause that's near and dear to probably both mine and Erica's heart, yes. Any musician yes. out there, because trust me, affording health care is not easy.
It's bad. Yeah.
A matter of fact, I'm not trying to pull back the curtain too far, but it's
right.
It's so difficult that I haven't been participating. So
I was about to say, I'm like, and I am also not participating.
So
it is expensive.
So yeah. And then also too, off the record, OTR, you told me that you were checking out your Super Nintendo. Oddly enough, I am literally sitting in front of my Super Nintendo as well. So I wanted to bring that up because I always like to talk about
who are
these people outside of their bands and their music. And Super Nintendo, Jurassic Park, was it?
Yeah, Jurassic Park, yeah.
What do you think about guys, here's another. We're gonna date this podcast even more because the SNES Classic was announced today. Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
I did.
Yeah. What do you think about that? Yeah. I mean, of course, we'll probably never be able to get one because the NES Classic sold out in like 1 minute.
I'm like, I can't afford to buy you on eBay for like $600,000. I'll pass. Yeah, I'm gonna stick to my cool Super Nintendo original, I like to call it the original Super Nintendo.
The OG.
From the 90s. Yeah.
Well, here he is. What people don't understand is, these games that are coming on the NES Classic or the Super Nintendo, mm-hmm. The SNES Classic, they're common games. So you might have to invest a little bit of money, but trust me, you can buy a Super Nintendo or regular Nintendo, the games that come with it, and spend far less than the $600,000 that they're asking for on eBay.
Exaggeration.
What's your favorite Super Nintendo game?
No, so true. Chrono Trigger.
Dude, that's a great one. I'm not going to lie to you. I was playing some Chrono Trigger on possibly what you would call an emulator. And I logged because it's, over $100+ to buy. So, but I logged so many hours on it. And then one day I was like, yes, man, here I am. I'm making this thing happen, bro. I've got, all my characters and I'm ready to go. And then one day that save state was just not there. So I have not beaten Chrono Trigger, but I have logged a lot of hours and I spent several hours swearing. But that's what you get for playing on an emulator and not on the OG SNES.
And if I may, I will interrupt you and say that while I have played Chrono Trigger on an emulator, I did own Chrono Trigger along with all of the Mega Man X games and, of course, all of the Mario games and random games like Wings 2. Stuff you don't really hear about. And my mom decided when I was 16, 17 to sell every single Super Nintendo and amazing game I owned for $10 in a yard sale.
I was going to say.
So that's my story.
Sounds like you fell victim to the old parents having a yard sale trick.
Yeah. Hey, it's in a garage, so therefore I can take it. I'm like, no, it's in a garage because
I'm saving it for posterity.
Yes.
It's for a future generation.
It's a museum in here. Just keep it.
I was able to hang on to a lot of my games. Matter of fact, I have all my games in a regular Nintendo-shaped box. So that's kind of lovely. Cool.
Do you have Star Fox?
I have. I'll actually read them off to you because while you were talking, I went and pulled it.
I
have Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past. Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Oh, my God.
A couple.
Yes.
Here's a couple.
My childhood.
Arrow the Acrobat. Didn't get a lot of good reviews. Loved that game as a kid. I have
no idea what that is.
I have Aladdin and Goof Troop.
Oh, wow.
Donkey Kong Country 1 and 2. I'm missing 3, but I have 1 and 2. I do have Star Fox, Super Punch-Out, Mega Man X, Castlevania 4, Turtles 4, let's see here, The Lion King, Scooby-Doo Mystery. I was really into Scooby-Doo Mystery. That was another game that I loved as a kid.
Yeah.
So, also, Why Lie Country Club Golf. If you ever want to wind down after a rough day, just play this really archaic golf game.
As a child, if you're ever having a rough day, please play this golf
yeah,
game.
If you had a rough day really at school, this golf game is really going to take you to
the
a more tranquil
plane. The colored pencils kept breaking on me. It was terrible.
Yes.
And math, then, what is it?
I'm not going to bore you with all these, but some of these are pretty classic. Super Metroid, Super Mario World, Mario All-Stars, Street Fighter 2, and Bomberman 2, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters, which if you're in the mood for the crappiest fighting game, it's not probably the crappiest, but it's not good. So,
yeah, well. And I have WrestleMania over here, so I'm pretty sure that it's not as crappy as that.
As a WWE fan, I think, you know, I would like to challenge you to some Super WrestleMania for Super Nintendo. If
that needs to happen.
The next time I'm, you know, in Nashville. And you're not very far away from us here. Only 3 hours south.
Yeah. It's not bad, so,
Come there and trek and you know, just like, hey, just go up and down a bunch of hills. You'll find me.
Yeah, right. Oh, my gosh. A bunch of hills with construction. It's
just take a left at Taylor Swift's house. You'll be fine.
It's great. Yeah, she lives somewhere here. No one knows.
What else are you into, like, when you're not, you know, when you're not playing your Super Nintendo or shredding guitar?
Well, aside from being kind of a bit of a gaming nerd, because I totally have that down, I love cooking. Cooking is so much fun for me. I am a super big Food Network Chopped fan, and my goal is to one day be on Chopped. It's kind of on my bucket list. So
you know what? I mean, of course, that's your bucket list, but my bucket list would be to see you on MasterChef, because MasterChef is my jam.
Oh my gosh, I am watching MasterChef right now. Oh my gosh, I love it.
I'm gonna tell you what. There's a guy. Did you watch last season at all? Or are you just watching this season?
No, I've watched every single. I have a problem. I have watched every single like MasterChef season ever with kids and adults. Well, and the kids are super cute.
You probably already know this, okay? But there's a guy on there, and I can't ever remember his name. I want to say he's like Eddie Lee or something like that. Asian guy that wears
Louisville. I was gonna represent
say Asian guy that wears a bunch of sick cowboy shirts. And yeah,
oh my gosh, the best. Also on. Can I just say this real quick? Also on Top Chef on Bravo.
Oh, he's on Top Chef also.
As a contestant. Yeah, as a contestant. And then I believe as a judge. So, badass guy.
Yeah.
Go eat at his restaurant. Support Louisville.
Yeah, I was going to say, he has a restaurant here. Have you been?
Heck no, I've not been.
Well, you know what? I haven't been either. I tell you what.
Like, if somebody's going to buy my meal, I will go.
Well, I'll tell you what. One of these days, let's put this on our bucket list, okay? Whether we're on MasterChef or Top Chef or, you know, Kitchen Nightmares.
Right.
Let's
oh
go.
My gosh.
Let's go to that restaurant, okay? We'll make a blood pack right now via podcast.
That's almost a, I totally blood packed doing the whole thing.
Are you cutting your palm with a knife? Because that's what I'm doing.
I'm not doing that right now. I can't even lie. I'm really not doing that.
Gotcha.
Nope.
All right. We'll just make a deal. Okay. Next time you're in town and we have an extra, you know, hundred some dollars lying around.
Yeah. Hundred
let's
something.
Go to
which is
that
totally
restaurant.
Worth it. Totally worth it. By the way, people, I'm sure it's a great experience. But yeah.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm kind of been like I'm just real like into eating. So sometimes I worry like if I go to fine dining, it's like, man, is this experience of like having awesome food but in such small portions? Am I gonna be like that dude? Am I gonna be like that dude that like spends $150 to go to this nice restaurant and then goes to Taco Bell right afterwards?
Oh my god! Let's just talk about Taco Bell for a minute because. I have a complete addiction to Taco Bell.
Same.
Ever since I was a teenager.
Same.
And I think that has to do with like my friends being vegetarian or whatever and just us being able to eat there before or after shows or whatever. But yeah, no, I love it. I can't help it. Give me a Mexican pizza, sub beans for the meat with creamy jalapeno sauce on top. I'm a happy girl.
I'm down with that.
Boom.
I will tell you, boom, anything with their potatoes in it, I'm like super into. The breakfast burrito, the potato breakfast burrito. If you can get up early enough.
I've not had that.
Get up early enough one day, which is like pre 11 a.m. and get Fiesta potato breakfast griller. You are not going to be disappointed.
No. What if I get addicted to their breakfast too?
Dude,
it's like three meals at Taco Bell.
I wish they had frequent Beller's Club, like a
oh my gosh,
a ticket
they
could
stamp.
They can't do that
because everyone loves Taco Bell.
Yeah, I would have so much free Taco Bell. I'd be like Scrooge McDuck with a vault of Taco Bell instead of gold coins.
Have you ever filled out the survey to possibly win $500?
I have filled it out a time or two at Tell the Bell, but I've not won anything.
I have to say that I feel like if I have filled it out every single time I've been to Taco Bell, I probably would have won at least one time. At least one time.
All right.
As much as I frequent Taco Bell.
Check this out. We're going to fill out the survey every single time from here on out, and then we will take the money. Whoever wins will take the money and take each other to the great restaurant in Louisville. Okay? Deal?
I think that's so perfect.
Because for $500,
that is such a great idea.
That's probably how much the bill's going to be between the two of us.
Yeah, I will totally agree with that statement, and I support this decision, and we have to do that.
Fantastic.
Done.
And since we're here on the home stretch, it's been almost an hour here in our conversation. We're winding down. Erica, let me ask you, where can the listeners here find the Dead Deads on Netscape or like the inner web?
The inner web?
Yeah, on Netscape or like on AOL 4.0. Like, where can people find you guys?
Oh, wow. Great question. So people can find us on Spotify.
Great question.
You're welcome. Great question.
You know, people have asked us that for years. People have been asking us that for decades.
I totally didn't mean that to be sarcastic, but it came off as sarcastic. I'm so sorry. Okay. So you can hear the music on Spotify or you can buy it on iTunes. Just look up our name, The Dead Deads, or you can go to merchdave.com. That is the end of my career right there. Merch Dave.
Merch Dave.
That is not a thing that exists.
Until
now. Merch Cave. Yeah. merchcave.com/the Dead Deads. And we'll have it available there for pre-order, which does not exist when this podcast comes out.
You're just knocking it right out of the park here, Sellers. You're making it happen. So Dave, if you're out there.
So Dave, first of all, Merch Dave. I feel like we need to hire you to do our merch.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Dave, if you're listening, we have $1 million idea
Dave,
for you.
we have a great idea. MerchDave.com. Could be like this like little guy just waving on the front of the website. I'm Merch Dave.
Fantastic. I love that. Yeah. I love where you're going with that. We'll flesh that out.
We're going to work
podcast.
On that.
Yeah, we'll work that
so
out.
So we can raise money to also go to the restaurant that we're talking about.
Exactly. So we're going to merchcave.com/the Dead Deads.
Exactly. merchcave.com/the Dead Deads. And you can purchase our EP or any of our CDs or any of our shirts there. And it's really fun. So do it.
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
Guys, if you're listening, yeah, it's out there. And it's also on Spotify. I'm sure it's going to be on iTunes, that sort of thing as
well. Oh, yeah. It's totally iTunes, everywhere.
And you're on what? Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, that sort of thing?
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Follow us at The Dead Deads on Twitter. Follow us at The Dead Deads on Instagram. And then facebook.com/The Dead Deads. No spaces.
Can't ask for an easier web address than that. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So guys, yeah, you're definitely going to want to check out the Dead Deads. You're going to want to support them, buy the new album. It came out July 4th, which is in the past when you hear this, and it's in the future when we're talking about it. So
yeah,
definitely do that because we need health. Erica needs health care and we need to go to the restaurant, you know, this restaurant that I don't even know the name of, that some guy from MasterChef with cool cowboy shirts owns. So we have to make that happen.
We're into it.
Exactly.
We want it.
And guys, when you're done checking out the music, feel free to check out the podcast. Or maybe you've probably checked out the music. Then you're going to check out Or checked out the podcast and the music. I don't know how it's going to go, but support the Dead Deads, support Sean versus Wild. And you can check that out, SeanVersusWild.com. And I'm on Instagram, and I'm on Twitter, and I'm on iTunes, and I'm on Stitcher, and wherever other people get podcasts. I'm also on YouTube. Erica, do you do a lot of podcasting on YouTube? Because I really don't, but I think people do out there.
Oh, podcasting on YouTube. Wait, what? No. You have a podcast on YouTube?
Some people do, and I'm one of those people. So if you're out there...
that's great. I was, for a second, I thought you said iTunes. I was like, yeah, well, no, not really. Also, but YouTube, definitely didn't know about that, but I'm going to check it out.
Dude, it's on every... the Sean vs. Wild podcast, it's everywhere, guys. So
it's actually everywhere.
Yeah. It just like, I don't know. I was going to say Michelle Branch, but was that her hit, Everywhere?
Did it go something like everywhere?
Cause you're everywhere to me.
Yeah, so I was singing the wrong. I actually don't know the song.
Man, you knocked it out of the park with Michelle Branch and Reba earlier. So on fire, Sellers.
Reba, yeah, winning.
I gotta shut this down before this place burns down, guys. Burns to the ground. Before the podcast just crashes and burns, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Sean. That's Erica. Thanks for tuning into the Sean versus Wild podcast.